Okay, I'm going to read Acts 8, 9 through 25. It's found on page, well, it starts on page 1704 and goes to 1705 in the Bible in the Pew. This is about Simon the sorcerer. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages.
This is the word of the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and your presence and your peace. We ask that you'd speak to us through your word. You guide us with your presence and that you fill us with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Gospel means good news. The good news about Jesus is that he welcomes all people. He affirms no one. And he can transform anyone. The good news about Jesus is that he welcomes everyone. He affirms no one. And he can transform anyone. If we have a sorcerer in our village who came in the back door of the church, I think people might look at him funny. "What are you doing here?" This man was a sorcerer. Some of the kids are like, "Yes, Harry Potter sermon, finally." Right? He did some kind of dark magic. We don't know a lot about him. But you know what? He made a living doing signs and miracles that didn't glorify God. He had some kind of power, but it glorified himself. We know this because it says he amazed people and that he bragged. It says he boasted that he was someone great. He amazed all of the people in Samaria. This wasn't just a sorcerer. This was a sorcerer in Samaria. The people who were going forth and preaching the gospel, they were Jewish Christians. Jews and Samaritans did not get along.
These are like the people who you cross the street when you see them. Like if you had a grandparent who was like, don't marry that kind, that's who they'd be talking about. The groups didn't get along. They had a long history. They had a different faith. Though they claim Moses too. But they had a bad history. Jesus made a point to reach out to Samaritans. And that was like a hint, a foreshadowing of what was going to happen here in Acts chapter 8. When the people of Samaria would receive the gospel, the living water, they would be baptized. Philip was one of the seven. We read in Acts chapter 6, there was seven people who were set apart by the apostles, by the church, to make sure that the women who had lost their husbands, who didn't have anyone looking out for them in the community, the widows, the Greek widows and the Hebrew widows, that they were getting food distributed to them. That was part of the witness of the early church. They looked at their neighbors who were hungry and they fed them. They looked at the people in the community who were vulnerable, who were unemployed, who had nothing, who were at risk for food, and they said, we're going to go feed these people. But they noticed that when the food is being distributed, people from certain groups were being neglected. The Greek widows were being neglected. The Hebrew widows were getting treated better. And so they brought the issue to the leaders of the church, and the leaders of the church set aside seven godly men to oversee the distribution of food. Philip was one of those men. Stephen, who was stoned for his testimony, we heard about that last week, he was one of those men. Now, Philip didn't just hand out bread, he handed out the word of God. And he went to Samaria and brought the mission forth here. He cast out demons. He healed paralyzed people. And he spread the good news of the gospel. He did this all in Jesus' name. Unlike Simon, who pointed to himself, said, I'm someone great and powerful, doing those signs and miracles, he pointed to Christ. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not me who's great. It's God who's great. Follow him. He has a plan for your life. God loves you. Listen to his voice and follow it. The good news of the gospel is that even a Samaritan sorcerer could be reached, could be baptized. Even that person. So for the Jew, for the people first reading the scripture, hearing this word, they would have thought, no way, not them. Not that group. Not that person. I don't know who that is for you. The last person. If you're a Republican, maybe it's a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, maybe it's a Republican. Right? Maybe it's another kind of category of person who you don't agree with about something that's very important to you. But God is moving among all kinds of people in this world. Every race, every tribe, every tongue. Every kind of person. There's nobody who isn't invited to the table. Even Simon the sorcerer. It says that Simon was baptized. Don't you love it when God's word surprises you? Does that ever happen when you're reading the Bible? Something just pops up. Really? Simon was baptized? The sorcerer was baptized? Did I just read that right? Man. He believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God, in verse 12, in the name of Jesus Christ. He was baptized. He followed Philip everywhere. He was astounded. He was astonished by the great signs and the miracles that he saw. Man, I know magic. I know miracles. But this Philip, he has a different kind of power. When the word got around that the apostles were spreading the good news throughout Samaria, other people in the church heard about it, the leaders, apostles, Peter and John, from Jesus' inner circle. These were like the big leaders in the church. They showed up. They said, man, God is doing something big over there. We need to be a part of it. They showed up and they start praying for the new believers. They put their hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. It said that the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had just been baptized in the name of the Lord. When they received the Holy Spirit and Simon saw this, he offered them money. He'd already been baptized, but he said, I want to be able to do what you guys do. And I have money. How much will it cost me to be able to lay my hands on people so they're filled with the Holy Spirit? Gospel welcomes all, but it affirms no one. Right after this wonderful moment of welcome, of being baptized, sorcerer being baptized, man, he gets rebuked. No. Right? He gets corrected. Peter said, may your money perish with you. Another surprise in the scripture. Because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and you're captive to sin. You know, Philip might have done, or Simon might have done a quick calculation. Man, if I pay $1,000 for this gift to be able to fill people with the Holy Spirit, I could set up a table at Saturday Market. And if everyone who comes give me $50, I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, all I need is 20 customers. I'll get my original $1,000 back, and then it's all profit after that. Might have run the numbers. Peter saw right through his heart. He saw right through his motivation. Even though he'd been baptized, he still had sin in his heart. Even though he had become a Christian, he still had sin in his life. Can any of you relate to that? I know I can. There's still work that God needs to do in us after we've come to Christ. And Peter spoke the truth to him. We all like to be welcomed, and we are. We all like to receive God's grace and love, and he offers it freely. But we also like to be affirmed. We all like to be told good job, and none of us enjoy being corrected. I know I don't. But the gospel, the word of God, it affirms nobody. Jesus says to all of us, I love you and I welcome you to be a part of my kingdom. But he doesn't say, you don't need my blood. Everything in your life, it's good. All of your ideas are good ideas. God doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't fully affirm anybody. All your desires, they're all godly desires. Yet, he doesn't withdraw his love. But he provides correction. And that's why we sung, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a guide unto my path. Because without that lamp, without that guide, left to our own desires and thoughts and ways of thinking and ways of doing things, we get lost. And when when you're really lost and you don't know you're lost, you get more lost, right? If you ever been out in the country and you realize you're or in Anchorage and you realize you're disoriented, I'm not sure how to get to where I'm trying to go or I'm supposed to go, and you stop and you pull out your Google Maps or your call somebody and get directions again and get reoriented, that's a good place to be, because you're trying to get reoriented. But when you are confident that you are going the right way and your co-pilot is saying, I don't think we're going the right way, and you're like, no, I got this, I know where I'm going, right? Man, one time I was on a trip when I was in high school in Chicago. We were trying to go to Indiana. We got on I-94 East we got an I-94 West, and it's the same highway, like I-94 West is on this side and goes this way, east goes this way. Anyway, one brings you to Indiana, the other one brings you to Wisconsin. And if you're in Chicago, it takes about 45 minutes to get to either state. So somebody wasn't paying attention. We were trying to go to Indiana to like an Amish furniture festival. And we ended up in the cornfields of Wisconsin. And it said, "Welcome to Wisconsin." It's like, "Man, I told you we were going the wrong way." That was before we had cell phones to correct us sooner. But man, you don't know you're lost until you're lost. We don't know what we're ignorant of until we're corrected. The gospel welcomes all. It affirms no one. And it can transform anyone. If you try the version of Christianity that doesn't allow for any correction or accountability, you're not going to find real abundant life that Jesus promises us. I love the free Costco samples. Love going to Costco in Anchorage. You don't pay anything for the samples. It's free food. There's no risk involved, right? I'll try any sample that's free, right? Can't hurt. Like, that's a weird looking chip, but it's free. I'll try it, you know? Sure. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good, but I didn't have to pay for it. That's not how following Jesus is. It's grace is free, but it's not cheap. Because even though you didn't pay for the chip, even though you didn't pay for God's grace, Jesus did. Man, he shed his blood. Somebody paid for it. He hung on the cross. If he gives up his blood, I can give up my sin. If he gives up his life, I can give up my pride. Peter called out Simon for his motives not being right. It's good for us to take stock of where we are with the Lord. Even we've been baptized, even we've been believers for a while, it's good to look at our gauges. Another friend, man, driving with him, "Man, your motor sounds like it's running kind of rough." Man, it's good. It always sounds like that. Are those warning lights always on? Oh yeah, man, they're always on. Don't worry about it. Does it always do that? Man, you just blew a piston. You go check under the hood. There's no oil. Does it always do that? It's better to check. I like the three T's, right? For a heart check. Are you think about the tithe. Tithe our talent, our time, and our treasure to the Lord. What do you do with your time, your talent, and your treasure? Not everybody keeps a calendar and writes down what they do. They're like, "Man, I have a calendar, I just live life." But think about how you spend your time. Are you in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer every day? Are you spending time in fellowship with other believers, making the most of opportunities? Maybe you've been a part of the church for a long time, but you've never consistently participated in a Bible study. Maybe it's time to consider that. Go into a deeper level of fellowship and study with other believers here. Many of our people serve. They use their talent, their hands to bake for funerals or other potlucks or other events, to serve in other ways around funerals and other kinds of ministry. But maybe you're a person who's really good with your personal devotions, but you're not involved with serving. Maybe you're really involved with serving, but you don't really spend time in God's Word anymore. You've gotten out of that habit. Maybe you're really disciplined with tithing on the money that you make to give that back to God, acknowledging that everything comes from Him. But there's certain things that you don't really tithe on, like your PFD or your fishing money. You're like, man, I just plan to buy, save up to buy this or that. But you don't make a plan for giving. These are all things that don't exclude us from God's love and welcome, but these are indicators of where our heart or our treasure is. And the more that we submit and give over to the Lord and live in accordance with what He's teaching us to do, it's an act of worship. It's an act of submission. That it's an act of accountability, where when Christ does come and He does see through our motivations and see our hearts, He knows if we're just adding church or Jesus as something to make us stronger in what we're doing in living life for ourselves, like Simon. He wanted to add another trick to his bag of tricks, you know. I just want some comfort from God, but I don't want to serve. I want some help from God with healing my heart, but I don't want to give. We limit the work that He will do in us and through us when we don't fully follow His word and listen to His spirit. And so I'm challenged by this passage this morning. What would Peter say to me if he saw through my heart? Because I know God sees through my heart. What will Jesus say to me when I meet Him face to face? The gospel welcomes all. It affirms no one. It can transform anyone. We don't know the full story with Simon, what happened to him. But we know there was an invitation, and we know there was a challenge. And we know Simon's prayer. Verse 24, Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." It's an interesting request. We don't know if Simon was still in a place of selfishness, just saying, "Oh, I don't want to die with my money. I want to keep my money and my life." Or if he was actually repenting, "Pray for me that I would get this right." We pray to the Lord and ask that we would get it right with God's help for His glory in our story. Let us pray. Lord, none of us live perfect lives, and so we rely on Your grace, and we thank You for Your welcome. We repent, Lord, of the times where we have not welcomed other people in the way that You have welcomed us, where we have written some people off in our community, even in our church, as people we don't like, or things they do we don't approve of, thinking that they don't have a place in Your kingdom. Lord, we all struggle with sin, and we need Your help in being freed from it. We know You can transform anyone, and so we ask, God, that You would transform us first, and that You would transform our community second, that You would fill us with Your love so that we can share it, that You would make us mindful of Your grace and the cost of the price that was paid, that we might live and be freed from our sin. God, this is not something we can do on our own, but something that You can do through Your Spirit, and You promised this to us. We thank You for the assurances of Your word, that if we ask, we will receive. So Lord, we ask for transformation today. We ask for forgiveness today. We ask that You would direct our path today. Glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.